not going to give up and say, oh yes, my wonderful Heavenly Father has given me this sickness and disease. No, 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 a thousand times no. God doesn't do that. But sometimes if we miss out and stop looking at what God is doing, we'll begin to take that home. We'll begin to accept that. We remember a couple of weeks ago we talked about the kingdom of God invading earth. He's eventually bringing it to a place where the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdom of our Lord and His Christ. See, that's the goal. That's the end goal, that the kingdoms of this world are going to be overcome by the kingdom of God eventually. Now, I want us to, I'm going to move along real quickly and talk a little bit about that whole concept of what do we have our eyes turned on to? I'm not going to go through the scriptures. You can read them, but I'm just going to paraphrase them a little bit. You remember John the Baptist. It was declared that he was the one who would come and preach the way of the Lord. John the Baptist came preaching that Jesus was coming, actually. He never said those words, but he was preaching the divine Son of God was coming into the world. And he came and declared that. And we know from Scripture that he ended up in prison. Now, one of the things, keep this in mind, one of the things that John was preaching was that the Messiah was coming, and the one who would deliver those who are held in captive. Remember Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, preach deliverance to the captives. And here John was in prison. And so John was in prison and he was discouraged. He was discouraged. Why? Because he was in prison. And he sent to his disciples to Jesus. And when he sent his disciples to Jesus, he said, ask Jesus, are you the one who is to come or is there somebody else? Well, John had declared that Jesus was the Son of God. He declared that from the Jordan when Jesus was baptized by John, he had already declared that Jesus was the Son of God. But here John was now in prison and he was discouraged. And he said, should we look for somebody else? Why? Because he didn't see Jesus doing what he thought he would do. Because he was declaring that Jesus would release prisoners from captive. And here John was in prison. I'd get discouraged too. And so he went to John. Jesus said to John's disciples, when his disciples said, should we look for someone else? Are you the coming one or should we look for someone else? And Jesus answered something very, very important for us to pay attention to. He didn't say anything about John being in prison. He simply said, go and tell John what you see and what you hear. The blind see, the lame walk, the dead are raised. He's saying, look at what I am doing and make your decision whether I'm the coming one or not by what I'm doing, not by what you don't see me doing. And Jesus ended his statement by saying this, and blessed are those who are not offended in me. If you and I keep our eyes focused on what God is not doing, we're going to get offended. We'll even get offended with God. If we are taken up with God, with what God, we might be praying for a long time, not seeing an answer. Not seeing an answer anywhere. And this can get us into a place of offense. And Jesus said, blessed are those who are not offended in me. Are you talking about what God has done in your life? What comes out of your mouth when you think of Jesus? When you go through your everyday life, folks, I don't know how to say it any clearer, but if we don't have God on our mind in our everyday life, in everything that we do, we're missing out on an awesome, awesome, wonderful gift. I remember when I got saved back in 1980, one of the things that just absolutely just overwhelmed me was I would go to work and I'd be doing some manual work and so forth, but God was constantly on my mind. constantly there. Some of you can give that same testimony. When you got saved, you got born again, and you realized that you started thinking God thoughts. I was overwhelmed by that. And that helped me more than anything, I think, to be stabilized in the things of God. To recognize the presence of God in our present day life. God knows what you're doing, knows what you're going through, knows how you're feeling, and He's saying, come closer to me. Come closer to me. Come closer to me. Come closer to me. I want to show you what I'm doing. I want to show you the good things that are taking place in life. Surely we can tell God, even if there's nothing else, we can say, God, I'm so thankful that you saved me. I'm so thankful that you brought me into the kingdom of God. God is still doing some awesome things today. Paul, why don't you come and share? Paul's got a bit of a testimony about healing. He shared it at a healing service, but a lot of you guys never heard it, and some other thing happened since. We're talking about looking at what God's doing. This is one thing that God is doing.
Good morning. I just felt moved a moment ago to ask you to do something. When I praise in this place, I close my eyes always. Very often I cry. I ask you to close your eyes now and turn your hearts and your eyes on the Lord and hear what He has done for me, but glory to Him, attention and honor and praise to Him. In 2005, 2006, I developed a problem in my lungs. It went on for 6 months or a year before I was worried enough to go and start seeing about it. By that time, I would cough so much sometimes that it would put me on my hands and knees. I would be tasting blood. And I never thought at that time to turn to God. So I turned to an earthly doctor, and they put me through a battery of tests, and they first told me I had tumors in my lungs, and they left me with that for a while. But eventually they diagnosed me with a condition called sarcoidosis, and it can attack a number of organs in your body, but it had hit me in the lungs, and it is a progressive disease, and it eventually can turn your lungs to scar tissue slowly until you can't breathe anymore. And so by the time they got around to that, they put me on a lot of steroids, which are not pleasant, but they promote some healing of that and strengthening of the remaining parts of your lungs. And since that time, I've had to undergo a yearly physical workup, a lot of lab work, pulmonary function tests, blood work, ECGs, and too many things to mention here. And some of the reports have been better, and some of them have been frightening. And I had another bad time in 2010, and almost as bad as the first years, and went back on steroids, and again put my trust in earthly doctors. So they were treating the symptoms, and they were making me feel better, but I still was carrying this disease and this fear in my life. And this last year, my physical workup was in January. And after it was complete, the preliminary results were forwarded to the specialist who takes care of me, and he was quite worried about it, and he said, this does not look good. And he said, I want you to do this over again, but he said, you need to go on steroids again. And I disagreed with him. I really didn't want to do that. I was afraid I had offended him, but I refused that. On May the 20th, there was a healing service here. And I had an appointment with the specialist on the 31st of May, and I was again fearing what I would hear. And I used to not care that much about my life. But I have so many more reasons to live now. I have a wonderful wife. I am blessed. And I was standing beside Donna, and I said to her, I said, I am never going to get a bad report again. In that moment, I was given faith to reach out and claim what God wants for all of us. We are his temple. We are his body. He does not ever intend for us to carry a burden like this, or illness like this. From the day we were born, he watches over us. We are in his eyes. Pastor Bill mentioned the vast population of the earth a few minutes ago. There's 7 billion of us. And in the natural world, I am one of those 7 billion, and I am nothing. I am invisible. But in God's eyes, I am valuable. And that night, it finally got through to me that God wants healing for me. And I went forward, and Pastor Burke laid hands on me, and the world changed. I didn't have any evidence of it then, other than what I felt inside, but I felt it very, very clearly, and I knew that my life had changed at that moment, kind of the pivotal moment, the tripwire that Pastor Bill spoke about this morning. And the 31st rolled around, and I went to see my specialist, and he had a new set of papers, and I have them here. Most of the things that he tests me for were rated in percentages of what normal, healthy lungs my age would be. And this set of tests came back, and the poorest percentage was 88. There's a 97, a 96, a 98, and from there, the next lowest one was 103, and they range up through the 120s to 154% of normal lung performance. And I praise him this morning. My lungs are clear. I have been healed divinely, I have no doubt whatsoever in my mind, and it changed exactly on that moment when I reached out to the God who loves me, who cares about me, who holds out everything to me that I have the faith to claim, and I praise him today, I thank him. And something that I didn't mention the night that I spoke before, I have also been troubled with some asthma over the years. And that was such a small thing by comparison, I didn't even think about it. It's, you know, it's a minor thing. But Donna said to me just a few days ago, you haven't used a puffer in a long time, have you? And I got thinking, and I've never had a cough. I've never needed Ventolin since that time. I've never had a moment's trouble. I have a miracle in my life. Incredibly big, awesome miracle, and I frankly am terrified to stand before you people, but I cannot be silent about this. It's amazing.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Paul. Praise God. Look what the Lord has done. Paul can get up every day. Look what the Lord has done. And you know, you can say that as well. If you're a believer in Christ, look what the Lord has done in me. And I'm convinced that when we get to heaven, we're going to find out a whole bunch of stuff that we've been free from, protected from, that we never even knew was harassing us because of the power of God. And as God increases his rule and reign upon the earth, we're going to see more of the evidence of his power manifested in our midst. And we have to stop and think of it. I don't know about you, but I've seen people. I've had people call me up and say, I just wanted to let you know that for many, many years, I was in a car accident for many years. I had terrible pain in my neck and never was free from it since. Last night when you laid hands on me, I was totally delivered. I have no more pain. Can you imagine walking around in pain continually, day in and day out, day in and day out, and suddenly that gone? I mean, that's an awesome thing. But some of us who never experienced that, we got to stop and think how great it is to be delivered and set free. Paul spoke about the other Paul, Paul Trainer, spoke about being delivered from cigarettes the other night. How instantly, basically it became, was pretty much instant, he was totally delivered. I mean, when you're harassed with that for years and years, it's so important when we get totally delivered from these things. And these things are things that come from heaven itself. And there's an increase. Notice this in Isaiah chapter 9, speaking about Jesus, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. You might say, Pastor Bill, you're talking about things this morning that I totally don't understand or I can't get a grasp of. Get a grasp of this. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. We don't have to understand to get a miracle. We don't have to understand things to get a miracle. It is the zeal of the Lord of hosts that will bring it to pass. He's the one that causes things supernatural to come into this natural realm and set people free. Of the increase of his government and peace. His government, of course, is rule and reign. But I love this word peace. It's the Hebrew word shalom. It means completeness. It means soundness. It means welfare. It means peace. It means soundness in body. It means safety. So he's saying peace will increase. Of the increase of his government and peace, the increase of soundness in body, the increase of wholeness in body, the increase of health will come in our lives. As his government increases, as the increase of the influence of the kingdom of heaven comes upon you and I, these things are evident for us. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And the church needs to have a joy upon us that will help us to be able to stand against some of the things that the enemy constantly throws at us. Now, I'm going to end on this. There's so many more things that I want to share. You know, when I start praying and I get down, the Lord gets me on a certain track. After a while, last night I was praying and looking at this and scripture continued to come to my mind. I just say, I got to stop. I got to stop or we'll be here till 4 o'clock. But when we get this here place finished over here, maybe we'll just stop, have a bite of lunch and come back. But the motivator, the book of Hebrews, speaking about Jesus, says this, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. The motivator was the joy that was set before him. What's motivating you? I suspect that I might need the same motivator as Jesus. So if I want to be motivated, I have to find out how I can receive the joy of the Lord. What's the scripture say in Romans chapter 14, verse 17? The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, peace, and joy. We get that gift of righteousness from Jesus. Peace comes from Jesus. We should read that scripture like this. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness in the Holy Spirit, of peace in the Holy Spirit, and of joy in the Holy Spirit. It's all in the Holy Spirit. That's what the kingdom of God is all about, doing things in the Holy Spirit. If you're going to school and you're a student, you ought to do it in the Holy Spirit. If you're a carpenter, you ought to do it in the Holy Spirit. If you're a mechanic, you ought to do it in the Holy Spirit. If you're a housekeeper, you ought to do it in the Holy Spirit. You're a homemaker, do it in the Holy Spirit. Whatever you're doing, do it in the Holy Spirit, with him, under his guidance, under his influence, and the joy of the Lord will become your strength. Praise God. That's exciting to me. What's it mean to be in the Holy Spirit? Be influenced by the Spirit of God. Recognize that he's here with us. Recognize that he wants to speak into our lives. And he wants to speak good things. He loves you so much. He cares about you. He treats you as an absolute treasure. He thinks you're wonderful. And you know, Claude said corporately we look good, but to him, individually, we look good as well. Amen. Individually, God thinks we're wonderful. God thinks we're great. I mean, God just loves it when we lay down our head at night and close our eyes and think, God, you're looking at me and smiling right now because you love me. I hope you do that. If you've never done it, do it. lay down your head at night and think about God looking at you. Think about His attitude toward you when He looks at you. And if the attitude that comes to your mind is anything but, I love you, I care about you, I think you're wonderful. If it's anything but that, rebuke it. What I mean by that, if you lay your head down at night and sin comes to your mind, something that you're doing that you shouldn't be doing, first thing you do is say, Jesus, please forgive me for that. Please forgive me. Grant me the power to overcome that in Jesus' name. And then think about the love that Jesus has for you. Now, thoughts will come to our mind and try to condemn us, tell us we're no good. A father, a mother, somebody in authority might have told us, a school teacher, that we were no good for anything. We never will amount to anything. It might have been the seed planted in their lives years and years before. Those are lies from the devil, and those are the kind of things that we need to rebuke. Remember I talked about carnal Christians a while ago? If I think about the things that I did wrong, if I think about the things that when I blaspheme God, if I think about those things, then I'm being very carnal, because those are mind issues. Those are things that are coming in the mind. And the Scripture tells us to go deeper. Go into the Word. Get your opinion of yourself from the Word of God. Scripture says in Jeremiah that man's heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. But then over in the New Testament, it shows us the remedy for that. And His name is Jesus. Yeah. His name is Jesus. Jesus changed our hearts, shifted us so that we never have to say that again. Jesus says, you're wonderful. I made you wonderful. I did everything I possibly could to take you back to the original creation that I meant for you. And God says, when I create something, I create it perfect. And so He sees us as perfect, well able to do the things that we're called to do. Well, stand with me, please. I could keep going, but I want to wrap this up.